All right, rolling on with my guy Hoodie. I'm Cap.
312-332-3776.
Our friend Tom Izzo back in the Sweet 16 again. He's on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
Is good morning back where you belong in the Sweet 16. Congratulations. How are things in East Lansing this morning?
Well, Cap, Hoodie, they're a lot better than they've been. I know that. We had a little, and I say a little, you know, everybody gets confused because 3 years ago there was no NCAA tournament. And 2 years ago we got beat by UCLA, who ended up in the Final Four. And last year we got beat by Duke, who ended up in the Final Four. So it's not like we haven't been alive, but you're right. It's been a while since we've been in the Sweet 16, and it hasn't changed, Cap. It's still sweet.
Coach, we know you got to keep moving on here through the tournament, but is there a game in the regular season that you look back and say, boy, if we could play like that, we could really make some noise? What game can you circle for us?
Yeah, you know, I think it might have been Indiana at home, because that was a slugfest, and as Cap knows, you get in the NCAA tournament, and everybody talks about offense, and we've been phenomenally good offensively the last month, other than these two tournament games, when we got our defense back and our offense. If we ever get the two going together, who knows, maybe we could play for a little while yet. But I think that game, we were pretty good offensively, we were very good defensively. And in this tournament, for the most part, you got to be pretty good defensively. You're playing in different venues. Sometimes you're playing in, domes and places, and your defense travels, as they say, and ours has been pretty good the last two games. And that's been the difference in this team.
There have been head coaches who I've talked to, they said, tell your friend Tom to quit playing all these tough teams during the season. He plays too many hard games. And I've asked you that question on and off the air over the years, and you've said it prepares us for March. So what is it, they say, January, February, Izzo? What is it that you do with your kids that they looked so well prepared yesterday?
Well, you know, Cap, you're right, and you've coached, so you know I'm telling you the truth. You know, when I started, I did it just to get on TV, because it was Michigan in the Fab Five, 5 years before, and they were on TV, and it's hard to get recruits here because you couldn't get on TV all the time. So I said, I'll play a tougher schedule, make sure those games are on TV. Then I realized, talking to John Chaney, of all people, that he just said, it really works. It prepares you. Oh, he did it, but his conference wasn't as tough as the Big Ten. So right. I got side-winged on that a little bit. But, you know, even like yesterday, somebody brought up to me, we got the most losses of anybody in the Sweet 16. We probably had the most losses, I think, in 6 or 7 of the 8 Final Fours we were in. And I think, you know, I'll give you an example. Hoodie asked me a good question. We played really well offensively against Iowa, and it was that double overtime game when we blew the lead in the last minute, a 10-point lead. And so yesterday we were 8 up with a minute 23 left, and the players in the huddle said, remember now, we don't give up threes for twos. Give up twos over threes, and don't do this, and don't do that. And it was a take off what we learned losing. You never learn as much winning. You know, you think you do, but you don't. It doesn't hit home, especially with this day and age, kid. And so that loss, even that tough game and the loss, I think helped prepare us for the tournament too, not just the preseason games.
Coach, what is it like when you have Shaka Smart? We just played the soundbite just before you came on. Shaka Smart talking about how smart and how aggressive your team was to be able to knock off Marquette. But you have a mentee in Shaka Smart. What's he like, and what was that matchup like against Marquette?
Well, Shaka's one of the guys I love. I think he's one of the new, young and up-and-coming coaches. You know, I helped get him on the board. I think he's the Coaches Association. I just think, he's done the things. He went to, the BCU, and he pressed, 40 minutes all the time. And then I started realizing that he got to Texas, that doesn't always work. There's too many good guards. Now he picks and chooses. I wish I did a better job of that. So I think he picks and chooses. But his defense and the physicality of his defense was as good as anybody we played. Big Ten or beyond. It reminded me of the Cleaves days back when Purdue and Michigan State played, and you know, we could have played it outside on a football field. They were very physical. I loved the way they played. I didn't like it coaching against it because times have changed. But he's kind of a new school guy with old school traditions. And, you know, I think he's going to be, I mean, you see how young that team is? I mean, they're going to be really good next year. They'll be picked top five or better. And I think he's a very good coach. So gotten a chance to get to know him better over the years. And when he kind of got kind of a strange situation at Texas, that was their loss and Marquette's gain for sure.
As you look at Kansas State now, this is a team that was picked, I don't know, 12th, 13th, whatever poll you look at in their league. Mm-hmm. And Jerome Tang does an awesome job, and they have a great season. So what do you do? You've been through it so many times. Do the kids get today off? Do they get a chance to catch their breath? Are they just meet? Take us through what this week is like to get you ready to play this week.
No days off, Cap. You know me. There ain't no
not
days
for you.
Off right now,
not for baby. You.
I don't mean for them either. You
right.
know what? If you can't get ready to practice now, you know, everybody says, well, you got to keep them fresh. You know what? If they aren't fresh playing in Madison Square Garden in a Sweet 16 game, so be it. You know,
it'll never happen.
We're not going to grind them, but we're going to do a lot of mental work today. We're going to do some, you know, we only got today and tomorrow. We leave tomorrow night because we play Thursday. So, you know, we'll do a little more today, a little bit less tomorrow, and then, you know, Wednesday will be a review day to play Thursday. So they're, you know what, hell, I'm 60-some, and I can go today. They're 20. They sure as hell can go today. So
love it.
You know my theory. I don't want to beat them up, but we're getting after it.
We know that all the coaches, as we talked to Tom Izzo on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Coach, we know that there's – you know, so many coaches are working hard to try to get into the tournament. I told Cap, and Cap and I had this discussion before the tournament. It just seems to me that there was not necessarily a favorite. I think that the 16 seeds, the 15 seed, everyone is impressive across the board. Did you feel that parity throughout the regular season?
Listen, I've been in there when Cap was had hair and everything, you know. So that's when we started this damn tournament.
Yeah.
And you know what? I couldn't agree with you more. I've never seen, I don't know if it's parity. I don't know if we're getting like the NFL where everybody, like in our league, everybody's, you know, 11-7, 10-8, whatever, which I'm not sure is good for basketball. I'm not. But I think as you looked at it, you know, maybe it was hard to figure on Houston and Kelvin. You know, I replaced Kelvin here as a GA many years ago. But Kelvin's done a good job. It's just harder to tell because of the conference they're in. But I'd say you'd have to say Alabama has proved its mettle because they've not only been a great offensive team, but you look at their defensive stats. So, you know, you could say that. But other than that, boy, I'm with you, you know. I think we're all in the same boat. I thought Shaka's team was very good. And yet I don't see any team like the Carolina team we played in 09 when I was trying to petition the NCAA and play the Pistons in Detroit instead of Carolina. They were that much better than everybody, you know. And so I agree, you know. I think, you know, so far those two main ones have survived, although I love Purdue, you know, and I think Matt Painter's maybe the best young and up-and-coming coach, not young anymore, but in between. And it was just the tough matchups in this thing end up, you know, the difference makers, guys. And Cap, you know that. It's all about the matchups. And I'm just, you know, beating the daylights out of the Kansas State film. And, you know, they're really good. I think he does a great job, but he's had a hell of a mentor, too, Scott Drew down there. He's been 19 years at Baylor, and you know what they've done. So he's prepared for this, even though he's a new head coach.
Tom, rooting for you, man. I'll have my green on. I hope Sparty is rolling on. Really happy for you.
Well, if we are, let's talk again, guys, all right?
You got it. We'll call you.
We'll talk again anyway and figure out who else is winning.
You got it. Have a great day. Best to Loopy and the kids.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
We'll see you. Take care.
All right. It is Tom Izzo, Michigan State head coach, with us on the CarX and Tire Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom. Don't worry, call the CarX man.
Dude, that guy's the best, man. He's never forgotten his friend. Known that guy since 1989.
Crazy.
The best.
So he was talking about the K-State coach. Is it Tang?
Jerome Tang. They were picked 13th in one of the polls I just looked up. 13th in their league.
What is it? Purple teams in their leagues this season going from bottom to top. Northwestern did it. Kansas State's doing it.
And that's something.
Both Wildcats. What's happening?
Hey, here's this interesting. Tang, little bit of a puppy chest. Talking about Calipari. They're coming in with some swagger. I don't know the result of the game. I just know what I heard from Tang was, sounds like a coach has been doing it for 30 years. Like, hold on a second. You did beat a blue blood in Kentucky. Whatever you think of Kentucky, Kentucky was down this year.
Correct.
No question. But it's just, I heard that soundbite like, huh. It's like what Patino said about John Calipari. He goes, I don't know how John does it. I don't know how John does it. I try to keep my players. I can't reload every year like John does. And now that's commonplace because of the portal. Everyone's reloading. Calipari was bringing in just pros five at a time and reloading every year.
Correct.
Now look at the portal system.
It's tough. It is a tough business.
It's total sidebar, nobody cares. But have you seen Kentucky's recruiting class next season? It's old school. Five of the top 20.
Yeah, no, it's in. Now, the big question always with this is, are you recruiting to get them in the NBA? Or are you recruiting to win a national championship? Sounds like it's more of the NBA path.
I think you personally as the coach are trying to win the championship. You're selling the kid on getting to the NBA. I'll develop you into an NBA player. That's how it goes.
It just, when that's that carrot's
tough
on
racket,
the
racket, man.
Yeah, but when that carrot's on the stick, Cap, it's like, you know, you're recruited because I know NBA people, I'll get you in the NBA. For some of those players, that's only the option. The national championship is so far down the track that you couldn't care less. And that's not good for college basketball.
But I think when they're going through the run, Kevin Garnett said, he made billions of dollars and went right from high school to the pros. Mm-hmm. He missed out on March Madness. He wanted to be part of that.
Yeah.
He was going to go to Michigan. So,
could you imagine?
You imagine?
And now there's rumors that kids are just the fifth year of eligibility is going to stick. That's just going to be a forever deal. Kids will have 5 years of eligibility. You'll have more kids coming back because they can make money in college. There's a chance this actually all ends up working out better for the sport.
Hopefully.
I was going to make the joke that's the Timmy rule, but that's the 10-year rule for college basketball.
You know he might be there next year, this Drew Timmy.
This is ridiculous.
He's going to be 100 playing for that team.
He's done after this year.
No shot. The Eschmeyer plan.
Do you have
again?
Did you guys get the audio that I sent you from Drew Timmy yesterday?
Yeah. I hope you edited it.
Oh no question. Drew Timmy of Gonzaga.
You know, before they announced our starting lineup at home, I was like, in seven straight Sweet 16s, I'm like, we cannot be the team that f*** this one up. So just to get it done and not fall under that Hypno Toads Genjutsu or whatever it is feels good, man. But they're a hell of a team.
Mm-hmm. He drops the F-bomb.
God, he's
cute. Last year he said, I think the Tracy Wolfson, we don't want to F this up. This year, I don't care, drops the F-bomb.
Jesse Rogers and the Cubs and Sox in Major League Baseball.
Who?
Next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
And Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7 here on ESPN 1000. Don't forget, if you can't catch all of our show live on ESPN 1000, go to the podcast, go to ESPN Chicago, and you can catch our conversation with Tom Izzo and Courtney Cronin and all the other nonsense that we do on this show weekdays between 7 and 10 here on ESPN 1000. Now to the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
We find Jesse Rogers, who covers Major League Baseball like a blanket for ESPN and ESPN.com. He joins us here on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Jess.
Good morning, guys. And Hoodie, they almost made it through the WBC, those White Sox players. They almost made it. Did you see what happened in the eighth inning last night?
Saw what happened to my guy Moncada.
Yeah, and I love the manager after the game. Now, this is the English translation of it. He had a concussion when he was trying to catch the fly, but he's in perfect condition now. It hurts a little bit in the ribs, but he's okay. Well, which is it? Concussion and ribs, or is he in perfect condition?
Oh, man.
And I will tell you, even though the Sox have said he's day-to-day, I was in spring training last year in the final days of spring, and Tony La Russa said just kind of casually that Moncada was going to be out a day or two with a oblique or whatever, and his first at-bat in the season was May 9th. So nothing with Yoan Moncada or this White Sox team is day-to-day to me. So he'll fly back to Glendale today along with Luis Robert because they lost, and we'll find out more in the coming days. But, man, they almost made it. We're talking about the eighth inning of a blowout game.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Rick Hahn should have been on the phone like, hey, get this guy out. And, of course, he runs into the left fielder for people that don't know. They say concussion. They say ribs. Last time I checked, you need your ribs to swing a bat. Mm-hmm. So I don't think this is a minor thing. We'll find out soon. But you got to imagine he's not in the batter's box for several days now.
Jesse, the whole WBC thing, and you know I'm a baseball guy. I love baseball. I have literally no interest in this. None. Have watched maybe 1.5 minutes when the USA team scored 9 in the first inning. Trout hit a home run. I went, all right, I'm out. Have not watched any other WBC other than the highlights that play over our shoulder here. Are you locked in on this thing?
Well, I mean, part of it was my assignment in spring training. I went to the first four Team USA games, and I have been watching. I got back over the weekend. You know, the semifinals, everything down in Miami now. So I am watching, Cap. This is what I've heard from people. They're really into it, like way into it, or they're not at all. There seems to be nobody in the middle, no casual fan. So you're not into it, but I've heard other people that really are. And you've read the stories, I'm sure. The players really are into it. They love putting on their team uniform, whether it be Team USA, Team Cuba, which was the first time they're using major league players this year. Dominican Republic was upset that, you know, there is a lot of pride in putting on your team uniform because they don't, you know, do this in the Olympics, right? There's no Olympics for baseball. This is pretty much the World Cup and the Olympics for baseball. So it just depends, Cap. You know, if you're a player in it, you're way into it. If you're an executive of one of the teams, you're not into it, right? You want your players back healthy. Some fans could care less. They're into March Madness. Other fans I've heard from are really into it. These games are selling out down in Miami. They sold out a few of them in Phoenix that I attended. So it's kind of a weird – it's just weird because in some ways it's really important to the sport. In other ways, I know there's a lot of casual fans that could care less. They just want to see their players healthy.
Yeah, I'm watching it because I'm interested in the Sox players and plus the pageantry of it all. I told you last week, the excitement of it has got me. You don't get that in the regular season, but you got it because of the pride of the country. So I'll ask you this. 7-game series, U.S. definitely the best players, but what would be the best 7-game series? U.S. versus whom?
I mean, look, it's going to end up being U.S. versus Japan tomorrow night. That's not such a bad thing. Japan has to win tonight. U.S. versus Japan, I bet Cap's going to watch that because that's going to be a good game. They say Ohtani might close the game. He can't start because he's started a bunch of games already. But in a 7-game series, probably the Dominican Republic. They have MLB stars up and down. They were upset. I would say Dominican and the U.S. would make a great 7-game.
I think there's an NIT game tomorrow night, Jesse.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Puerto Rico had a good team as well, you know, Lindor, Baez. But look, it's 1-game elimination. You could be upset at any moment here. And then, you know, there was a moment in time that looked like the U.S. may not even get out of the first round. They did that, and they look, 2 nights ago, Trey Turner hit a grand slam in the 7th or 8th inning there and changed the whole game. I mean, that was exciting, Cap, if you were watching.
That's exactly right. This un-American jackaloon next to me, not supporting the United States of America. Rush would say that you're un-American. You're an un-American. That's exactly what you were being. Right?
But, Hoodie, what will you say? What if Moncada's out a month? What are you going to say to that?
Oh, no, I'd be very disappointed. Well, here's the thing. That's the other question. Could you verify for me, are there any Yankees in the World Baseball Classic?
Off the top of my head, I'd have to go look.
I don't think so.
I mean, Gerrit Cole's not in it. You know, a lot of the pitchers declined. A lot of the best pitchers None of the, you know, Verlander, Scherzer, Gerrit Cole all declined. So did Dylan Cease. So
I think some Yankees are not a part of it. I think that that might be an edict. There might be some teams. And Cap says, yeah, you can't deny a player right. from going, but you can strongly suggest.
Right, exactly. Technically, if he was hurt last year, you could deny the player from going. If he was healthy, whatever that, you know, whatever that the litmus test is, you know, how long did you have to be hurt last year? I'm not sure. But, yeah, you supposedly can't deny, but you can certainly pressure. You're right about that. But players that want to go don't will just say screw you to their teams and go. Mm-hmm. So it just depends on your level of incentive or desire to go play for your team. And you're right. I can't think of too many Yankees, at least on Team USA.
Yeah, I would be very upset if I'm the owner of the Houston Astros right now and Jose Altuve's yeah. 2 to 3 months on the shelf, oof. Surgery on his stuff. Dude, I'm paying you $30 million a year to play for me.
But here's the thing, Cap. They should be upset with the league then. This is not even an international-driven thing. MLB is sponsoring, producing, created the WBC. This is an MLB product. They should be mad at MLB for putting players in a position where they have to say yes or no to their team. I mean, think of Kyle Schwarber. You guys know Schwarber. Very patriotic when it comes to the men and women in service. And I talked to him about joining the, and that's all, you know, he came up with the salute. When they hit a home run, they're saluting because he wants it to be a very patriotic thing. So you're not going to deny a guy that's talking about the men and women in service who wants to play for his country the ability to play for him. This is a league thing. If you're upset, you're upset with Manfred or Bud Selig for creating the WBC and putting players in this position. I don't think you can be mad at your players.
All right, Jesse, give us some whispers. Come on, Cubs, Sox, or the divisions of said. What are you hearing now?
Yeah, let's
go. I'm hearing more good about the White Sox as spring training has gone along. I asked a couple scouts about Oscar Colas. They like him. Nothing not to like so far in his spring. That's probably the most interesting storyline, right? Here's a brand new player being handed right field. So scout-wise, not even internally from the team, good things about Oscar Colas. And all of a sudden, if these guys are healthy, I like that lineup. I love Andrew Benintendi. Colas brings the left-handed slug that they need if he can, you know, get off to a hot start, and that's not easy for a rookie. But I actually like the White Sox lineup. You mentioned the over-unders. They're really tight in the AL Central. So there's no reason not to believe the White Sox can have a good season if they remain healthy. And, of course, that's a big if. So I don't know. That's one whisper that people are actually a bit higher on the White Sox than they were before spring training started. And I think that's good news because everybody was down on them coming out of the offseason. They didn't do enough. But if healthy, I think they're as good as either of the other teams in that division.
What are you hearing about the Cubs? What was that number you gave me from Pecota? What did you say, 67 wins?
No.
It's like 76.
76 and 78.5 is the over. Under 77.5, you can find it at a few places. I said to my wife, hey, what's our savings account number?
Because yeah, exactly.
They're giving away free money in Vegas.
Right. You're taking the over. 79?
77.5 was where I found it at one place, 78.5 on another. My wife said, pound the under.
That's what my wife
she
said.
Did?
Under.
Yes.
Jesus.
Oh, come on.
Look,
I said, hon, we got the best defensive team in the National League. And she goes, oh, let me know how many runs that team scores.
Well, wow. Pitching defense wins championships. I said to you guys that on Friday. I will say I am getting mixed reviews from people outside Chicago, outside the organization. I talked to some scouts and media people in the last week. Some are like, yeah, 76, 77 is about right. Others are like, no, they'll be a little bit better. The other team that's kind of in that mix is the Arizona Diamondbacks. That's what I said on the air to Bleck, I think. Like, that's the team other people are comparing the Cubs to. Not the Cardinals, to the Diamondbacks, who also are around 76 wins. That's where the Cubs are in the pecking order of baseball right now. They have to prove otherwise. They have to prove they're an 80-plus win team. Until further notice, Vegas, and I think a lot of people outside of Chicago, aren't going to give them the respect. And I get it. They've signed a bunch of guys that need to have comeback seasons. They don't have enough power. They have pitching and defense, but can it last 162 and get you to the playoffs? That remains in doubt.
Two or three games better than last year, Cap? You're not going to deal with that. You're going to hit the roof around June.
Look, I'm not under delusion that they're going to go win the division and make a run in the playoffs. but I do need them to be at least a 500 club.
Yeah, yeah. 80-plus wins. That shows improvement. And then really it's about 24 when PCA takes over in center. Perhaps Matt Mervis in, at first. Remember, Bellinger and Hosmer are one-year guys. They're going to be gone. They're going to hand this team over to Nico Horner, Dansby Swanson, PCA, and we'll see who else emerges.
And while Brennan you're Davis. There, get the freaking checkbook and get some extensions done. Enough already.
Yeah, we talked about that last week. Hasn't happened yet. We're down to a week, and I just haven't heard momentum. It doesn't mean it can't happen. Just have not heard a lot of momentum, especially on the Nico Horner side. I get Hap, free agent year. I'm just surprised something hasn't been done with Horner, even though he has several years left. But we said that when Bryant was, you know, in this position. Several years left, they'll get it done, and they never got it done with any of those guys.
What position does PCA play?
Center.
He will be a beast out there. Gold yeah. glove. Pete Crow Armstrong.
Oh, for heaven's sake. He's not good enough to have acronyms yet. Stop.
Yeah, exactly.
Say his name. He ain't nothing yet. Stop.
That's PCA. A good point.
PCA.
You don't get the nicknames until you arrive in the majors.
Oh, for heaven's sake. I'm looking at rosters like, I see Patrick Wisdom, Trey Mancini. Where's PCA?
PCA, baby.
No shot.
He's a gold glover. He's a gold glover already in center, but he's got to get his bat there.
Jesse, as always, we appreciate it.
All right, boys. Have a great week.
Have a great day and a great week.
See you Friday. Jesse.
PCA.
God. PCA, baby, and Mash Mervis.
Is that fair? Is that fair, Shay? You can't have like an acronym until you've done something. Pete Crow Armstrong? Go ahead.
Fair.
The Car X Tire.
It's not
rattle,
fair.
Rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, PCA. Boom, boom. Don't worry, call the Car X man.
PCA and Mash Mervis. Let's go!
Mash unit meaning injuries?
No. He can mash the damn baseball.
Okay.
Take that.
We'll see. Got to start, though. He's going to start, isn't he? DH? Worst weekends, the tournament edition, next.
Here's today's headline with Cap'n Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The Bulls put together a 113-99 victory over Miami on Saturday, propelling them back into the play-in tournament in the standings. The Bulls hold a game-and-a-half lead over the 11th-place Pacers with 12 games to play. Yoan Moncada, the White Sox, exited the World Baseball Classic yesterday with a rib injury after colliding with Royal Santos while tracking down a fly ball. So the Detroit Lions are getting better. They signed former Eagles safety C.J. Gardner-Johnson to a one-year deal. The Lions are currently the favorites to win the North. Also, the United States advanced to the World Baseball Classic with a 14-2 beating of the Cuba team yesterday. Team USA will take the day off and await the winner of Japan against Mexico tonight, with the final taking place tomorrow in Miami with a 6 o'clock first pitch. Jay Moore.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Swept by the Pirates.
We can only ask or wonder that he is asking some departed relative for forgiveness for this atrocious performance.
Falling in an outhouse? Or maybe a dose of instant karma.
The evidence would lead me to believe that he did not break the plane before getting rid of the ball. And who knows what's going on inside that helmet.
It's time to find out who had the worst weekend on Cap'n Jay Hood.
Cap'n Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. Mike Greenberg comes your way at 10 o'clock, followed by Carmen and Yurko from 12 to 2. Waddle and Sylvie 2 to 6, right into Bears Weekly at 6 o'clock. And then Bleck and Abdallah at 7. Right into Freddie and Fitzsimmons at 8. All part of the mix right here on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000. Worst Weekends, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
A tournament edition of Worst Weekends, and we have to start with the head coach at the University of Purdue. Purdue Boilermakers found their way out of the tournament in the first round, the second time in tournament history that a 1 seed lost to a 16 seed. This time was the biggest upset in the history of the tournament, not only in the point spread, but because the 16 seed they lost to, Fairleigh Dickinson, didn't even win their conference. They lost the NEC title game to Merrimack, who was not eligible for the NCAA tournament because they're transitioning to Division I. So Fairleigh Dickinson goes by default and then beats Purdue. Purdue. In the last three tournaments, Matt Painter's Purdue team has lost to a 13 seed, a 15 seed, and a 16 seed. The only coach in history to do that.
Cap, that's pretty bad.
That's awful. Awful. And I think he's a hell of a coach. I think he's a great dude and a hell of a coach. And he, if he was sitting right here right now, would say to you, unfreaking acceptable what happened.
Right.
Unacceptable. Can it happen once? Yeah. Twice, you'd be like, okay, this stuff's got to stop. Three. You got the Big Ten tournament champion, the Big Ten regular season champion, the college player of the year. I did not have them in the Final Four because I said to you last week, their guard play scares me.
Mm-hmm.
You lost to a team that didn't even win its conference tournament and got in on a technicality that went 19-15, and you couldn't dominate them? Stop yourself.
Well, if we're doing ESPN West Lafayette this morning, I can make the case of saying, well, you know, it's not about what's in front of the uniform; it's about the athlete, right? But there's really no way to twist around that when you've lost in that fashion the last 3 years. Now, there might be some Purdue fans that's trying to push Painter out because of what's happened here, but then you look at the landscape of college basketball, Shay, and you say, okay, we'll get back to the tournament again, but then what are you going to do once you get there? If you're not making real noise, then where are you going as a program? No matter the portal system, no matter how big your school is, how does this get better? Are you recruiting the top athletes? You're recruiting some, but are you getting the best of the best? Probably not. Not in the country.
You got the best player in the country.
And when they do get the best.
Or the national player of the year.
Yeah. Then what?
Then when they do get the best of the best, like last year when they had Jaden Ivey, a top five pick in the draft, they go out in the Sweet 16 to St. Peter's.
Then what? Once you get them, then what? That's the whole thing about it.
When you lose to a team in the Sweet 16, it's not as egregious because that team obviously is reasonably talented. I don't care what a bunch of suits up in a conference room for 3 days tell you when they seed the tournament. If that team gets to a Sweet 16, I don't care if their name's St. Peter or what. They're good. Fairleigh Dickinson in round one?
I get it.
Get the H out of here. Yep. Unacceptable.
Yeah. Next.
All right, we have Gonzaga bettors. If you bet on this game last night and you had Gonzaga -4.5, which a lot of people did, you were feeling pretty good with 0.7 seconds on the clock and an 84-78 lead, up 6, covering the spread, no issue. With 0.7 seconds left, TCU slow rolls the ball up through the midcourt. And right at the three-point line, picks it up, quick shot, goes in, 3 TCU covers at any number you got them at, which includes me getting them at 4. I had a wonderful time. Gonzaga bettors had a bad weekend.
Wow. Yeah, I saw some guy online. He bet on FanDuel. He had an 8-leg parlay. He went 7-1, and his loss was Gonzaga -4.5.
Should not happen.
Would have paid him a bunt, like 12 grand. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I showed you the highlight again.
The kid knew.
No chance. He knew if you asked him at shoot-around, hey, what's the line on the game? Oh, we're like 4.5, 5-point underdogs. When the ball's rolling up the court, he's not thinking about somebody winning or losing their bet. He's not.
Your kid would.
No chance.
Are you kidding me? Absolutely.
Kid. Understand, if it's at the end, shoot it. By all cost, just ask for the ball. Demand it. Put it up. That's a boy. We win. 13 grand. Attaboy, Alex.
That's how you do it, Cap. There you go. You're advising them. Play your hardest, and here's the number. Take a look.
Dad laid the 4.5. Pull up and don't you dare shoot it. Or Dad took the points.
That's exactly right. All right, so that is bad. All right, so we got a couple more we got to get to. And then don't forget, we've got our spring trading announcement. Come to Twitch, everybody. Twitch.tv/ESPN Without in Chicago. We got another worst weekend, and we will reveal who will be the combinations here at ESPN 1000 for spring trading. All to come here on Cap and J Hood.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's Home for Sports.
Captain Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We'll have Greeny coming up at the top of the hour. But right now it's time for the Captain Jay Hood Cut of the Day.
And it's brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse, David Flom and Matt Moore's Dining Creation on LaSalle on the north side of the river.
All right, let's see what we have.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it. It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
Some people just want to get to someplace faster, like you in Seattle climbing that mountain.
And you know what the name of the mountain was?
What's that?
Cougar Mountain. I heard Cougar Mountain. I thought it was going to be a bunch of hot 40-plus.
Shout out to Larsa Pippen.
Right. I thought like it'd be like 100 Larsa Pippens out there hiking. It was, the mountain was called Cougar Mountain because they spotted some cougars there.
Well, why would you be, if they were cougars, they wouldn't be going for you. They might be going for your kid.
Maybe. But.
Or maybe you. Maybe they're interested in you.
I wasn't interested in them. I'm happily married.
Sugar daddy, maybe.
Right.
It's probably so. I mean, all of a sudden you're... Boy, this is really taking a long time.
I have sex four times a night.
Excuse me?
Every night. I never had a day off.
Ma'am, excuse me.
Wait, hold on. What?
What? Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yes.
What? Your poor vagina.
You had sex 28 times a week.
Yeah.
Just trying to climb here.
But with 23 years?
Yeah. Getting my so stuff
on the road too when he was traveling?
I don't know. We never spent time away from each other. We had a private jeez, I traveled with my kids.
This is, this, I'm trying to climb. Did you say you have sex how many times?
And that's all, folks.
Captain J Hood Cut of the Day. Brought to you by
Chicago Cut Steakhouse. And here is today's tip. You're going out for a nice business dinner. Maybe you want to get a good steak. The Cajun filet or the Cajun ribeye are off the chain incredible.
Imagine being on that mountain, Shay, and then all of a sudden it's like that whole group from Bravo walking by.
MILF Manor, right? MILF Island? What's the show?
That's right, MILF Manor that you introduced us to. All right, we got to finish up. We're busy right here. And again, come to Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, and watch the spring training announcements. But first, let's finish up Worst Weekends.
FAU-FDU on the topic of Fairleigh Dickinson, the overbetters.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the game, Florida Atlantic had a chance to send this thing over. The total was 148.5. It was sitting at 148. And this idiot on their team tried like a windmill 360 dunk. Missed it. No over. And then his coach had to apologize on the sideline after the game.
All right. So we'll put that on Worst Weekends. Is there one more?
There is one more.
Okay.
Now, did you watch Virginia Furman opening day, Thursday afternoon?
Yes.
Kihei Clark is going in the annals of college football or college basketball history right up with Chris Webber for doing one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in a tournament game. Trapped in his own half court, Virginia had the lead with a timeout.
Yep.
Over-the-shoulder baseball
pass. What was
pass,
he thinking
up
there?
The floor, intercepted, open three. Good night. You lost.
Why are you not taking the foul?
Why not take the timeout? You had a timeout in your pocket. You're trapped. Call it.
They're going to call the foul. Just let them hack you. I saw him throw that. I'm like, oh God. And I had Furman. I was thrilled.
Yeah, I like Furman.
And all of a sudden, I was thinking of you right away because we both had Furman to win. And when he threw it, I'm like, oh, my God. Is he going to pull up for... He is. Bang! Game.
Yeah.
And he gave up a really good look at the end.
Exactly
I was
right.
shocked. Virginia got a really good look.
So much for that defensive prowess from Virginia. So much.
Virginia scored like four times their scoring average. They scored almost 70 points, and they still lost.
It's amazing.
That was incredible.
That's March Madness. All right, let's get now to spring training. The announcement, we have it ready right now. Who's going to team up with whom tomorrow?
Here we go.
Danny is on a plane. I am filling in doing the selections today.
Oh, boy.
So we got to make sure things get done correctly.
Mm-hmm. First selection,
me.
7 a.m. Yeah, right.
Next one, me.
I'm hosting all day. It's
me.
A marathon. All right, 7 a.m. First person up. Adam Abdallah waking up early with me tomorrow.
How about that? Abdallah getting mornings again.
Abdallah in the AM. filling in with Adam in the mornings. I was hoping for a day off. David Kaplan.
Take that. All right, Abdallah and I had a good show last year. We'll have fun together.
Mm-hmm.
I get to stay in my regular shift. I had afternoons the last 2 weeks.
That's a bummer.
Cap
Dollar tomorrow morning. No vacation for me. All right, 12 to 2.
You know what? Stick it up your you know what.
12 to 2. First name out of the
you
cup here. All right. Couldn't pay me enough. Jonathan Hood in the Golden Hammock, 12 to 2.
Oh.
How about that?
Wow.
Let's see who he's hosting with.
Outstanding.
It'll be the great Tom Waddle. Waddle and Hood in the afternoon.
There you go,
the midday
Tommy.
Slot.
Hmm. 12 o'clock?
12 to 2. The Golden Hammock, you and Tommy.
Nice and comfortable. He and I swinging in the Golden Hammock. All right.
All right, I have the next two names, 2 to 6. First out of the bucket, Carmen. 4 hours of Carmen tomorrow afternoon with...
I think I know how this is going. With?
With... Sylvie, who gets to stay in his regular spot.
Okay.
Nice for Mark.
It'll be a fun day.
And that'll leave 6 to 8. Bleck and Yurko filling in tomorrow night from 6 to 8. You will get Yurko past his prime. You're filling in the evenings.
There you have it.
There you go. Looking forward to it. Abdallah and I tomorrow morning at 7. Hoodie and little Tommy at noon.
All right. Sylvie?
Sylvie and Carm, 2 to 6. So, we'll run through it. It's Cap and Abdallah, 7 to 10.
Yep.
Greeny at 10. Yep. And then you'll get Hoodie and Waddle filling in 12 to 2, spring trading. Carm and Sylvie, 2 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
And Bleck and Yurko, 6 to 8.
All right. That'll work.
Be fun.
That'll work just fine. Well, partner, see you later.
See you Wednesday.
We got to keep separating. They won't make the mistake and keep us together.
That'd be awesome.
We're going to afternoon drive.
4 hours.
Yeah. God. All right. That'll work for me. Again, so make sure that you adjust accordingly.
Correct.
For everyone tomorrow, so we won't be confused. Tomorrow, spring trading.
Lucky for Cap, he doesn't have to do anything.
I'll be here in the morning.
You not going to do anything tomorrow?
Oh, I have to work.
Is it a day that ends in one?
I don't have to.
Again, collect this.
We like to have. We're doing radio. Everybody, calm down. We're doing radio. We like to have fun in here.
This guy.
Oh man, we thank you for listening and calling and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000. We got a chance to talk to the great Tom Izzo, Michigan State coach. Talked to Jesse. We talked to Courtney. We thank you, Shay Norling. We thank you, Jay Moore. We thank you for listening and twitching and being part of the program. Tomorrow, you and Abdallah, Cap Dollar, they call it, on the streets.
That's it. Cap Dollar will be ready to go.
So for our entire crew, for Cap, I'm Jay Hood. Don't forget, if you missed that conversation with Tom Izzo, check it out right there on the ESPN Chicago app. Just click Cap Jay Hood in our podcast. Talk to you Tuesday. So long, everybody.
Take that.
From Chicago.